And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're going to jump on into the dipper here. Brace yourselves. This one is going to be a hoot. There's times in here that you read this stuff and you're like, no, that can't be real. No way. Stop it. Who wrote this? Well, then you realize it's real. So this first dipper is called Transmania, which is, I mean, I'll be honest with you, the transgender ideology has really morphed into almost a cult-like movement. It's like dynamic adherence to that which makes no sense. Think about it. And I'll also say this too. The transgender ideology requires that the world has to get involved with their psychosis, not the other way around. Usually when someone has a mental illness, which are real, I mean, they're very real. I mean, it could be depression, it could be bipolar, it could be schizophrenia, it can be any anxiety, it can be any number of things that have their foundations in something to do with mental illness, sometimes situational, sometimes chemical imbalances, but the reality is that stuff's real. Every single one of those, the therapies are designed to help A, cope, and B, come out of it to make you healthier. Except for transgenderism. The gender dysphoria that is the root for transgenderism, the transgender left requires us to join them in it for their so-called healing. That's the only way you can make them better is to jump on board and get involved with their psychosis. No, how about not? There's no other illness in the world. If someone was bipolar, they wouldn't require me to be bipolar to join them. If someone was depressed, they wouldn't want me to make them more depressed to make them well. If someone had an eating disorder, I wouldn't try to accentuate the eating disorder. I would try to help them out of it. Why are we required to jump on board with everything transgender when we know for a fact it's rooted in a mental issue? Because it is. And don't try and tell me otherwise. But then you read stuff and you go, no. Like this one. Here, let me quit beating around the bush. Got a story from Red State. Pulled this one off of Red State. Dateline today. It says, the woke Middle Ages? There's a university trumpets the transgenderism of medieval times. I'm sorry. Were we there? Is this documented? What's happened? It starts off by saying, when you see a pride flag, does jousting come to mind? Do you imagine knights identifying themselves as non-binary?
Definitely not.
I'm saying.
Not me, at least.
Just pretty sure no. So Boston University. God. Boston University actually has what's called the Global Medieval Studies and Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Programs. Along with their sponsoring partners, the Pre and Early Modern Trans Studies Symposium. Hang on a second. The Pre and Early Modern Trans Studies Symposium. There's so many contradictions in that one lane. So I got to ask, is this symposium going to be sold out, do you think?
You never know with Boston, though.
It's Boston, but still, I look at this and go, well, it's sold out. That's great. The room only seats 20 people.
Yeah.
Or is it like, are you packing them into, like, I don't know, the Patriot Stadium? What are we doing here? I just forgot the name of their field. What's the name of the Patriot Stadium? This is going to bother me.
Oh, it's is it?
I just wanted to say Lambeau, and that's the Green Bay Packers.
No. It's, well, I forgot too.
Well, yeah, go. All right, never mind. The joke is still good. But yeah, I look at this, I think, is this comedy? Is this a Monty Python skit? What is happening? So apparently, it's a part of their emo trans workshop. Pray tell, what's an emo trans? There are so many new names. I have to keep up. That's
go ahead.
Early modern trans.
Oh, well.
What is early and modern?
You've heard the term emo before, right?
Yeah, but this ain't that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was going to say that, but that's definitely not this.
It feels like it should be that.
Yeah.
But it ain't. This is early modern trans workshops. Hosted by a guy named Micah Goodrich. Okay, so Micah Goodrich. I'm coming back to him. Let me read you what the promotion says. This is the symposium promotion. You ready? This conference brings together scholars working at the intersections between the fields of trans studies, medieval studies, and early modern literary studies. Oh, good. It's riveting.
While
the projects of historicizing trans studies and querying pre-modern and early modern studies are ongoing, it is surprising that there has thus far been relatively little engagement with trans studies by scholars working on ancient, medieval, and early modern literature and history, especially given our field's long genealogy of feminist and queer approaches. This guy, let me rephrase this for you. We're going to reinvent history.
Exactly.
And we're going to apply our ideology to things we think are back there.
Yeah. History is not retrospective.
It is
It is objective, and you can't inject your own stuff into it when it wasn't there.
If they were archaeologists, we would be damning them for ever trying to say, this is the way things are. No. But apparently because it's literary, they can do it. So, and I got to look at this and go, let's break this down. While the projects of historicizing trans studies and queering pre-modern and early modern studies are ongoing, what does that mean? They're trying to create history for trans studies, and they're trying to, in their words, queer the studies, and they're ongoing in their effort to do so. And then they say, it's surprising that there has thus far been relatively little engagement between trans studies and ancient, medieval, and early modern literature.
Because it doesn't exist.
Thank you for hitting the punchline just right. So, okay, Micah Goodrich, the guy, I have to think, okay, was this funded by a USAID grant? I mean, is that where we are?
Wouldn't be surprised.
So Micah Goodrich is the guy, I say guy, I don't know, his pronouns are he, they. So he's they.
He's a half a guy.
He's a half of something. He's the assistant professor of English with affiliations in women's gender and sexuality studies and global medieval studies at Boston University. You know what they did? They created a job description for him. He received his PhD at University of Connecticut. Okay. And then he goes on to say, which threw me for a second there. It's him again. Their book manuscript is titled Mercurial Natures, Trans Hermeneutics and Chaucerian Body Texts.
Trans Hermeneutics.
This is the most highbrow rubbish I've ever heard. By the way, we are allowed to mock. Yes, we are. This is necessary. They must be openly scorned in this regard.
This is how it gets fixed.
It gets fixed. We point it out, and then we go, no. So there... Again, approach to Chaucer. I don't use those pronouns, but it helps the emphasis for right now.
Yeah.
Their approach to Chaucer's archives is informed by recent work in medieval gender and sexuality. Recent work. It's probably his.
Yeah.
The recent work is probably his. He's plagiarizing himself to make himself feel better about
himself.
Renowned
studies by me.
Here's a glance at some of Mr. Goodrich's published works. He wrote one called, there's a whole list of them, and they're all like this. I can't do them all because I don't have enough time for this many syllables. Here's one, a herbal triptych. What is a triptych?
I don't know.
I like to think of myself as being rather wordy, and I don't know what the word triptych is. T-R-I-P-T-Y-C-H. Look that up for me. And an herbal triptych, queer intimacies and the vegetal Middle Ages. And the vegetal Middle Ages? Like, they were vegetarians? What is that?
This is a triptych as a picture or relief carving on three panels, typically hinged together side by side, used as an altarpiece.
I know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What does vegetal mean? How about the unmaking of men, gender transformation in the medieval North?
The unmaking of men.
How about the many-gendered cosmos, a trans account of ancient astrology? Ancient astrology, the trans account. Oh, boy. How about who's afraid of eunuchs? How about who's afraid of being a eunuch? Everybody. Oh my God, this is where we are, but when we get back, I'll get a little more serious with it. The Transmania, it's real, y'all. It is real. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Yeah, Alabama's, Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, so I'm in number one of the triple dipper here, Transmania. And I have to wonder, is this guy, Micah Goodrich, who is in the field of trans studies and medieval studies at Boston University, having the Emo Trans workshop where they're going to study the intersectionality of medieval studies and queering of literature with transsexual. I'm making crap up now, but the reality is I ought to wonder, does he go home at night feeling proud of his work? Does he go home at night just feeling like I've accomplished something for the good of mankind? I mean, what do you?
Definitely.
You think he does?
I think if he's holding his own workshop on something, I guarantee you he's the only one studying. Then he thinks that his work is, you know, everybody has to come and learn it. It's that important.
Hey, do this while I'm talking through the rest of this. Take this and see if you can look it up and see if they're advertised, like how much you have to pay to go and where it's being held and all that kind of stuff. And I'd be curious to know if they're saying tickets are limited and it's already sold out or something. That would just be classic. All right, so let me jump on this, though, because the madness continues. Because what we're looking at here is, the, like I said, the trans ideology has decided it owns society, and there's no place that it can't go. Well, we are people, too. Yes, you are. But you know what? There's places that, you know, like women's locker rooms and others, you look at it and go, what are you doing? Well, we're women, too. No, you're really not. How about this one? Daily Wire has a story. Dateline yesterday. Daughters of the American Revolution chapters are pleading with President Trump to please save the organization from trans radicals. You may recall this, the Boy Scouts, the Daughters of the American Revolution, those two organizations that are steeped in history and tradition and conservative policy have gone totally woke. And the DAR began allowing transgender members in the last, I think, year or two. We covered the show once before. So the Daughters of the American Revolution chapters have now reached out to President Trump. They are saying that their entire organization has fallen prey to trans ideology. They said that this organization was founded in 1890 for women by women because they couldn't join the Sons of the American Revolution, but they wanted to honor their legacy. But now, they say in their letter to Trump, national and state leadership have abandoned the moral obligations of this once stalwart, prestigious institution to embrace the transgender movement. And they've also been told by the national organization that local chapters better comply or they might lose their 501c3 status. So I don't know yet. We don't have a response from the Trump administration on this yet. But I look at it and go, first of all, it's a private organization, so Trump may not be able to weigh in totally. But he could certainly weigh in on whether or not his administration, his executive branch, would strip the DAR of a 501c3 designation because they didn't choose to say daughters includes guys who think they're girls in the historical Daughters of the American Revolution. It's unbelievable. What'd you find of that, man? Did you look at that?
So I found this Google Doc form that of a like a questionnaire.
Oh my.
To RSVP to the event. Which, by the way, first it says your email, but then it says, who are you? Please provide your name, affiliation, pronouns, other information if desired. And then it just goes down and says, are you presenting at this? Are you attending this? Are you a graduate student? And then, it, you know, check mark of the day, all that. I'm not seeing if it's a sold out or anything, but
where is it being located? Where is it being hosted?
It says, so it says this event is free. So I'm not seeing.
That's because it's funded by USAID.
it just says held at Boston University, March 23rd to 25th. So okay. Somewhere at the university.
All right.
And it gives me Michael Goodrich's email, by the way.
I don't want it. I don't want it. And don't give him mine. That's just madness. Well, just so you know, the madness is everywhere. We're also finding, by the way, I got two stories here, one from Stars and Stripes and one from Daily Wire again. Both of these are datelined 2 days ago. Daily Wire points out that the Department of Veterans Affairs has for years defied a rule barring gender alterations in procedures, and they are now apparently being called out on it. They are known for, let's just say, providing prosthetics, if you know what I mean. They're providing prosthetics for people to pretend that they are not what they were really born to be. They do prosthetic breasts, prosthetic genitalia. They've been doing prosthetics like providing wigs. I don't want to even name some of the other prosthetics, if you will. But I'm just saying, it does appear that the VA has been, for a long time, using our tax dollars to do gender alteration surgeries and gender alteration transitions. Well, the Biden administration stretched the definitions of what's considered medically necessary. So the VA was all in, man. They're like, sure, we'll do this. How much tax money you want to throw at it? And it's really gotten kind of out of hand. Meanwhile, you've got truly diagnosable medically necessary issues that veterans are waiting in line for, but they can go get some prosthetic gonads and that'd be fine. The sound just came back, man. Thank you very much. Stars and Stripes points out that the VA is now being forced to end its transgender-related treatments. Well, thank you. Can I have some applause on that one? There it is. Thank you very much. Veterans seeking transgender-related medical treatments will, quote, have to do so on their own dime, says Doug Collins. That's former Congressman Doug Collins, who is now the Secretary of the VA under the Trump administration. The VA is currently phasing out what is known as cross-sex hormone therapies, as well as the prosthetics for veterans with medical diagnosis or histories of gender dysphoria. Huh. By the way, it's interesting you have to have a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. I don't think I caught that when I was preparing for the show. It's an actual diagnosis of gender dysphoria to be allowed to have these things, these prosthetics and whatever else. So if that's the case, it truly is a medical diagnosis that we are then being required to get into with them. Unbelievable. But the VA is, in what we're being told right now, the VA is going to begin focusing on actually supporting quality health care to veterans. And I did see, too, where Doug Collins said they're going to take this and they're going to change these dollars that were being assigned to these programs, and they're going to reassign them to veterans' medical needs that have actual, like, you know, amputations that require prosthetics. All right. So Transmania, it's out there. It's real. What's really maddening, too, though, is when they force it on kids. So I got a story here from the Daily Wire, and it's been on all kinds of different, you know, platforms. You can pick it up anywhere else. I just happened to find this one on Daily Wire today. Dateline, 2 days ago, the mother of a girl attending an Illinois middle school said that after her daughter refused to change her clothes in front of a biological boy, school officials stepped in and forced her to do so. Can you imagine this? This is the one I was talking about during my monologue. Nicole Georges told the story about what happened to her 13-year-old daughter at Shepherd Middle School, Deerfield School District 109 in Illinois. She said that her daughter came home upset, saying that a boy was using the girl's bathroom. According to her, the girl was then told by school administrators the boy was allowed to use the girl's locker room and the bathroom because he identified as a girl. After that exchange, the situation went from bad to worse, says the mom. A few days later, the male student was present in the girls' locker room. Feeling violated, the girls made the choice not to change into their PE clothes. The mother said school administrators then supervised the girls' locker room to make sure that the girls changed their clothes in front of the trans-identifying boy without protest. In other words, they went in there, crossed their arms, stared at them, and said, "Girls, start changing right now. But he's here. Listen to me. You change your clothes right now," and told them they had to do it. There is now a civil rights complaint filed with the Justice Department over this. And well, there should be. Because, folks, I'm telling you, that. And by the way, God bless that mom, Nicole Georges, who said, this is not going to stand. I saw a video of her speaking she was very reasonable, very solid. In fact, JP, I think we had the audio of that yesterday. If you can go ahead and pull that up from yesterday and get it ready for today. I meant to use it and didn't get to it, and now it fits better today anyway. So if you'd find that audio for me. We're going to play that after the break. Let me take a phone call real quick. Real quick before the break, I got about a minute. Hey, is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a father of daughter and grandfather, yep. Granddaughter, the Navy girl. If that was my child in that school,
yeah,
I would be that guy. to march in there and get her right out of there with a vengeance.
Absolutely.
I think there'll probably be 20 or 30 other parents. Hey, to the radical judge who's trying to put a stop to the discharging or removing transgenders from the military.
Yeah.
Because it's discriminatory. Phil, you can name, and then you can name five or six ways in which the military has always been allowed to discriminate.
That's right.
On the basis of the outcome of readiness, physical fitness, mental fitness, prior drug felonies, that kind of thing. We've always been able to discriminate in the military for very valid reasons.
That's exactly right. In fact, the legal term for it is called a bona fide occupational qualification. Like a fireman has to be able to carry a certain amount of weight up the ladder. Everything, you can't exclude people based upon simple discrimination. And even then, it's protected classes like gender and race and religion and pregnancy. But LGBTQ is not one of them. Oh, and by the way, you can have a bona fide occupational qualification that gives you an exception to those things. You're exactly right, man.
Good show.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a good break.
Appreciate you, man. Take care. Did you find that audio clip, bud? All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from the break. I'm going to play you a clip of this mom speaking about her daughter being forced to undress in front of boys by school officials who stood there and would not let her out of the locker room until she did it. Unbelievable. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. I got several text messages here, and I'm going to jump on that audio clip. So Chip from Muscle Shoals says, every woman in that locker room should be forced to strip down in front of a group of leering, dirty old men, or the wood chipper. I'm good either way. I think he means the staff that did that.
Yeah, I wonder how they would feel.
They would not.
No, exactly.
No, they would not. They would try to, we're being open-minded. We're teaching you to be open-minded. And they wouldn't do it themselves. You're exactly right. You got that audio clip, bud? I'm going to call audio clip one up, and I may stop you at some point. Go ahead. This is a mom who spoke out against the thing I just spoke about a minute ago. Her name is Nicole Georges. She's talking to the Deerfield School District 109 in Deerfield, Illinois. Her daughter is a 13-year-old at Shepherd Middle School. Go ahead.
I'm here to demand that the locker rooms and bathrooms at District 109 be designated as biological male and biological female, as there already is a gender-neutral option. The girls want their locker rooms and bathrooms back. They want their privacy back. This is why I'm here tonight. My 13-year-old daughter's well-being and mental health and privacy is at stake. This nightmare began on February 5th when my daughter was using the girls' bathroom and was stunned that a biological male student was using it as well. She came home frightened and was extremely upset. I asked her to talk with her teachers and find out more information. She was told by the administration that a student can use the bathroom as well as a female locker room because they now identify as female. I was sent an email to the teachers involved and received a call from Principal Wegley. He verbally reiterated that under Joanna Ford's direction and their legal counsel that the student could use both the locker room and bathroom. I expressed that the school was in clear violation of federal policy. The Trump administration issued an executive order restricting biological males from participating in sports and accessing female locker rooms. That day, I filed a civil rights complaint on behalf of my daughter with the Department of Justice. It has now been referred to the Department of Education. A federal complaint has been filed with the district to protect the students. The situation went from bad to worse.
Stop a few there. Days. So I want to point out something. This is a mom who is passionate. This is a mom who is aggrieved. This is a mom who's upset for her daughter, and yet she is well thought through. She is well read. She is basically done her prep work, and she's keeping a very even keeled voice. She's not going to be accused of being the person who came in there only to shout and carry on. She is doing everything right. Play it.
Days later, the male student was present in the girls' locker room. Feeling violated, the girls made the choice to not change into their PE clothes with a biological male student present. The next day, Assistant Principal Kathy Vantrese pulled the girls into their office, questioning them. The same day, Assistant Superintendent Joanna Ford, Kathy Vantrese, and multiple teachers all came into the girls' locker room, making them change into uniform. This went on all week with the addition of Ginger Laugerman. My daughter refused to take part in having her privacy being violated. How dare they? She ran out and called for me for help. Principal Wegley was offering my daughter a new PE class. The answer was no. She is not changing for the remainder of the year, and she is not changing into another class. The girls just want their privacy, and they want their locker room back. There are gender-neutral options. This is my daughter's story and the story of many other young girls who have been forced at the difficult age to do something they know and most adults know is wrong. Do the right thing, Deerfield, and give these girls their locker room and bathrooms back. Allowing biological males to access girls' locker rooms sets a dangerous precedent that erodes the very foundation of female privacy and safety. By making this decision, the school board is not only disregarding the concerns of young female students and making their families, but also establishing a legal and policy framework that will make it increasingly difficult to protect the integrity of female-only spaces in the future.
Oh, wow. Wow. So well done. I wanted to play that whole thing. It was long. I don't normally do recordings that long, but what I want y'all to take away from that was not only good on her, but that to me was the model for what any of us should do if the time came. That to me was the absolute model. She was well-read. She was firm. She was even-keeled. She made no bones about it. She used the maximum extent of the time they had given her to speak. She named names, and she didn't threaten, she didn't cajole, she didn't insult, she just said this is wrong, and it's wrong for a variety of reasons. And then she also pointed out that she has filed an official complaint. In other words, you know, I got options too, and y'all need to understand, it's a new day. And she pointed out, by the way, that this just happened. That happened just last month. That happened in February of this year. If I recall, there was an executive order already in place, and they know it. And they did this stuff anyway. Look, by the way, take note of a couple other things, too. These kids, they're getting called into the principal's office. That means somebody complained about them. And I got news. It wasn't the rest of the girls. Oh, no, no. It was somebody else who just wanted to make sure that their agenda was getting forced. More stuff to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like, oh, man, from Huntsville way on back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa way on back over to Gadsden. I mean down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, stretching across the border to Fort Benning. Yes, it's Fort Benning, Georgia. And big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. All right, so I got some stuff here. I'm gonna clean this thing up and call it done. But Transmania is real, y'all. It's real. Transmania is real. And but I want to tell you though, we are really gaining ground in this battle. We are. I can have those stories like I did a moment ago about the young lady being forced to have to change in front of the guy in the locker room. But I want to make sure that I end this segment on the fact that we are really gaining ground. Common sense is being restored. Law and order is being restored. And, oh, by the way, how about actual civil rights are being restored? So, here's a couple of examples as to why I say that. So, the era of DEI, of course, is crumbling right now, under its own weight, really. The Trump administration issued its executive order to end DEI in governmental institutions and universities and people who receive federal funds. There's that. Boardrooms are beginning to realize that DEI and ESG is crushing their bottom line and their shareholders expect better, and they're having to do away with it. So there's that. But then you've got actual, like official action being taken, like this, hotair.com. Has a piece that came out just, I think, 2 days ago. The Department of Health and Human Services Civil Rights Office has declared the state of Maine being in violation of Title IX. That's new and different. That's great. That didn't happen over the last few years. And you may recall, this is where State Representative Laurel Libby, who was on our show a couple of weeks ago, is from. Well, she has now got the full backing of the federal government, not just in an executive order. She's got the Office of Civil Rights under HHS declaring that the state of Maine is in violation and that therefore they're going to be subject to penalties and potentially subject to not just executive action, but subject to legal action. There's that. How about this one? Let's come closer to home. How about Murfreesboro, Tennessee? Right here in our listening area. How about Tennessee, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where a Tennessee Library Board voted this past Monday, according to a story on the Daily Wire, this past Monday to remove all books promoting transgenderism to children from its system, facing down all the protesters who gathered to call them Nazis for doing so. Good on them. This is the Rutherford County Library Board voted 5-3 in favor of a resolution to take books encouraging children to adopt radical gender ideologies off their shelves. They had a tense 2-hour meeting attended by over 100 community members who showed up. The resolution directed the library to, quote, remove material that promotes, encourages, advocates for, or normalizes transgenderism or gender confusion in minors. There were protesters. There were protesters there making themselves known. There were protesters who were screaming about how this is just wrong. It's Nazism and all that stuff. And they were allowed to speak. Listen, they got their chance. But the board members voted 5-2 to follow through on it. In other words, they stood up under the pressure. Good on them. Thank you very much. How about this? Michigan. I pulled this off of local news in Michigan. The Michigan State House has now advised the Michigan High School Athletic Association that it will have to ban transgender athletes from all girls sports. Nice. The Michigan House of Representatives, which, by the way, there are conservatives in Michigan. There really are. It's kind of like California. They are there, but they are somewhat beleaguered, but they're still in the fight. Lansing, Michigan, the Michigan House of Representatives adopted a bipartisan, by the way, bipartisan resolution on Wednesday urging the Michigan High School Athletic Association to ban transgender athletes from participating in girls and women's sports. They did so because, of course, President Trump's executive order, because, you know, leadership has a way of sparking things, right? But they basically passed this bipartisan resolution because they recognize that you're going to wind up seeing sports programs around this state losing funding if you don't make this known and get it done. That's Michigan. How about New Hampshire? New Hampshire has decided to follow Trump's transgender sports executive order despite a lawsuit from two trans athletes. In other words, they're being sued by some trans students who demand to be allowed for, you know, as boys to play in girls' sports. And despite the fact that they have ongoing litigation, the state of New Hampshire said, you know what? The New Hampshire Interscholastic Athletic Association is saying, you can go pound sand. We're getting rid of this nonsense. Look, I'm loving this. And that's the way it should be. So I say all that to say, take heart, because it has been a long road. It has been an unduly burdensome road for some, and there are still places where there are bumps in that road. But we have seen massive change, and just in the last few months, really. We have seen massive change. We are watching their ideologies and their madness come apart at the seams, sometimes under their own weight, with self-inflicted wounds or with overreach on their part that just falls apart. But we're also seeing that we gained ground. That election in November of last year changed the lay of the land on Transmania, and it couldn't have come a moment too soon. All right, let me get some text messages and clean some of that up. Let's see here. Scrolling down a little bit. Lynn from Knoxville. So Trump can't ban transgender soldiers, but Biden could remove soldiers for refusing a COVID vaccine. Yep, you about nailed it, Lynn. And by the way, I think Trump's going to wind up prevailing on that transgender thing, because if they by nature become and by the way, I heard the activist judge who issued this order, what's her last name, Vey, I believe, but she literally said certain things like, there are transgender heroes out there who have done great things to save our nation. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Where are they? I mean, I'm not denying they might exist, but I've never seen one. I served for 30 years myself. Are there transgenders in the military? Sure. Could they do strong things? Maybe so. But I don't recall ever seeing them. I don't recall ever seeing the medal ceremony. I don't recall ever seeing the recounting of the heroics on the battlefield. Oh, that's right, because most of them can't deploy. They can't. Because when you start through the process of gender transition, you're going to wind up being, by military standards, non-deployable for upwards of a year or more. Why do we need to keep you if you are taking elective procedures that make you a non-deployable asset in an organization whose sole function is to be deployable to win our nation's wars?
If Trump can't, or any president can't, have full control over who's in the military, then we can't call the president commander-in-chief anymore.
No, it's right.
That title would be null and void, because it boggles my mind that, I mean, I know why, it's because she's an activist judge, like you said, but it just boggles my mind that people think the president can't have full control over his military. Because, I mean, they call him commander-in-chief for a reason. He has full executive control of the military and foreign policy issues. So it's amazing to me. And hopefully this will get, you know, go to the Supreme Court and Trump will prevail. And I think it will. But
I think it will. That judge might need to go ahead and wake up and realize she's staring at a big reversal. Mm-hmm. And granted, she didn't rule on the merits right now, but she opined enough to tell us where she believes she already is on the merits. So it's not like she's a mystery to us.
Nope.
David at Bucky says, Phil, while we're removing restrictions for the military, why not go all out and remove the maximum age for the initial enlistment? If I'm not mistaken, maximum age for enlistment in the Army is 35. I think that's true. Gosh, another bona fide occupational qualification. Go figure. Thank you, David. Brian S. from Huntsville. Brian S. says, Phil, I heard on another program the possibility these rogue judges could be reassigned, stopping short of impeachment. Is this true, and what is the process for that, if so? I'm not aware of the ability to reassign judges. Now, I've seen judges recuse or be told to recuse, and they have to reassign the case, but I don't think that a federal district court judge is going to find themselves transferred to another district. I don't believe that works that way. If it is, I'm not aware of it. If someone knows differently, you're welcome to tell me. But no, I don't think that's going to wind up happening. The more than likely what you're looking at is a transfer of the case either to another venue or recusal of the judge and it goes to another courtroom. More to come. John from Huntsville says, Phil, have you and JP seen this Elon Musk March Madness contest? We're not even on that right now.
Well, no, I'll say I have, and you could win a trip to Mars if you get a perfect bracket.
Okay, well, maybe we should talk about this.
So I think the grand prize winner gets a choice of like $250,000, train with a SpaceX astronaut, or see a live SpaceX launch. But if you get a perfect bracket, you could you'll win a free trip to Mars. So
are we going to Mars already that I didn't know about?
Well, I guess whenever we do go, you get a free trip. But
if I'm still around.
You know, I think the 1 in 9 quintillion odds, I think Elon's probably not going to be giving anybody a trip to Mars. But
can I broadcast from there?
We'll see what the internet capabilities are from Mars.
Starlink's got it really going on now. Jerry from Decatur says, hey, Phil, I remember years ago when women's liberation was really kicking off and male chivalry became in question. Yep. Said, I asked the Lord, why should men open doors for women? And his reply to me was, because I opened the door for you. Wow. Said, the church is female gender. Ah, Lord, I see Jesus. And I said, I'm the door to heaven. Airborne. Jerry from Decatur. Well read, sir. Dustin from Hillsboro heard me say the early week we're allowed to mock some of the stuff. He said, I always plan to mock. Stephen from Athens says, Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which shall pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God. There's that. C. Kelly checking back in. It is C. Kelly from Huntsville. We have them now plugged in. C. Kelly, thank you. We're glad you're in the system. Appreciate you. And he also, well, you know what? Now I don't know if C. Kelly, if he or she. C. Kelly, you got to tell us whether we can say sir or ma'am to you. Thank you very much. Chris from Athens says, on the trans topic, the teachers and administrators who involved this incident, they should be terminated and stripped of their pensions. The school board members should be held criminally liable. And if the state school board officials were, this is a voice text and it ain't working. If the state board officials were something, they should have to face the same consequences along with losing the right to run for any future office. The bottom line is, I agree with you. There should be consequences. They have ignored federal policy. They have ignored what is best for students, and they've gone with an agenda over the well-being of children. Jack from Athens says, I fully support Trump reducing the size of government, but this is an example of why Fed should have a voice in education. Whew, well put, sir. JT Lacey Springs, since Trump stepped in, it seems that states are emboldened now to do what they were fearful to do under Biden. Leadership has a way of doing that, doesn't it, man? Leadership has a way of sparking the ability for people to feel like they can do that which they would not have done on their own. That is leadership personified right there. Last couple, Jim from Huntsville. Hey, Phil, why are the liberals allowed to cherry pick which judges they want to put cases up? They're not. They can file suit in a certain jurisdiction, but the court has to have jurisdiction over the issue and or the in personam jurisdiction over the complainants. So they're going to have to go where they go because there's a reason to be there. And within the courthouse, typically speaking, the clerks are the ones who do the assigning. You're not allowed to cherry pick. You're not allowed to forum shop. I can't say it doesn't happen, but I'm saying you're not, you can't go in there and say, hey, give me that judge. Kevin from Hartzell, if they elect to have that surgery that is destructive of government property, they should be able to be charged and removed from the military. That's an interesting point. We used to have kids get written up for Article 15s and basic training for getting a sunburn. That's amazing. I hadn't thought of that before. Thank you, Kevin. Brian from Decatur says, I think you need to have some research done on why you have so many Brians that listen to you.
He's got a good point.
Brians and Johns. Yes, absolutely. And then Paul from Athens says, I identify as a cis white male. If the judge is removed, is he then called a transfer? Oh, transfer. That's awful. I'm not even going to give you a laugh track on that. What do you? Thank you. Thank you very much. Take me to a break, JP. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Y'all, I am telling you, this is a target-rich environment for a conservative talk show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.